Today's Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Beis, and we begin about 10 lines down from the top at the two dots, where we quote the Mishnah, where it says, Avol Nosein V'chule. The Mishnah is telling us that a person is allowed to put Nosein Hu L'Solcha or L'Solcha Kos Kedei Lav Shirin. A person is allowed to go put some cold water into this urn or to the kettle or into a cup of hot water in order to warm it up a little bit. Now, what are we talking about over here? So, Brisa tells us, Tana Rabban, Nosein Odom Chamin L'Solchatzonein. A person is allowed to take some hot water and put it into a container with cold water. The container with cold water is called the bottom, Tator, and the hot water is the upper one called the Ilah, and you're allowed to do put hot water from the top into cold water in the bottom. However, V'lo Hatzonein L'Solchachamin, Divrei Beishamai. Beishamai says the other way around, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to put the cold into the hot water. Rashi explains over here that in the Dibur Baskel Chamin L'Toch Tzonin, the Kesover Tator Govar, the bottom one, is going to overpower the top one. Ve'na Chamin Mersichin Esatzonin Ela Mavshiran. And therefore, when you pour this hot water into this larger amount of cold water, so it's not going to actually go and boil the cold water in the bottom. It will just make it lukewarm. It will make it Mavshiran. It will make it Poshrin. So therefore, it's allowed. However, the other way around, v'lo tzonin l'tzol chamin, because Rashi says, shah tachtonim marsichin esol yonim, because the bottom ones are hot, and therefore they're going to go and cook the cold water that you're putting in, the tator gova, because then the bottom one is going to predominate. The bottom one has the more amount in it, and therefore it's going to go and change the status of the upper one. So if it's just changing the upper one from being hot to being lukewarm, that's not a problem. But if it's going to change the upper one from being cold to boiling it, that is not allowed. Tosos in Dibra Maskel, Nosin Odom Chamin L'Soch Tzonin, adds on over here, Afilu B'Kli Rishon. This is even if you're dealing with a vessel, it may not be on the fire, but it was on the fire originally, it's a Kli Rishon. The Chamin L'Soch Tzonin, Einam Mevashel. When you're pouring in from a Kli Rishon into cold water, it's not going to go and be able to Mevashel the bottom amount of water. Kemosha Farish, as Tosos says, I'm going to explain. V'Lo Tzonin L'Soch Chamin. Afilu b'chli sheni, and you're not allowed to put in cold water into chamin, even if it's a kli sheni, because the gazri b'shamay is going to make a gzer over here, kli sheni or to kli rishon. And certainly you can't do it into kli rishon, because it will go and cook it, and even into a kli sheni, you're not allowed to do this, because a gzer or kli sheni or to kli rishon. Now, as we're going to see in the Gemara, let's read it right now, but keep your hands on Tosas over here. Beisil Omrim, Beisil disagrees with Beishamai, and Beisil Omrim, Bein Chamin L'Socha Tzonein, or Bein Tzonein L'Tocha Chamin, Mutter. So Beishamai says, you can't put in over here the cold water into the hot water, and Beisil says, no, not only can you put in the hot water into the cold water, you can even put in the cold water into the hot water. Now, Bamedzor Mamurim, what are they talking about? Bekos, that's when you're dealing with a cup over here. And Rashi explains in Dibra Masel Bekos, the Lishasiya Koboyaluhu, because you're doing it for drinking purposes over here, and you're not interested over here, according to Beis Hillel, in getting the cup so hot. You just don't want it to be cold. And therefore, you have two reasons over here. Number one, that's a cliche. And number two, he says, you don't want it to be so hot. So when you're dealing with a cup, the din is different. And there, now back to the Tosos, Ubeis Hillel, Plige, the Visharut, Sonin, the Socham, they allow you to put the cold water into the hot water. Hainu Dafka, Bechlisheni, Kidiktani, Bamedvar Murim, Bekos. That you're allowed to do this is if it's in a cup, when it's not interesting, you're not interested in having so much that it becomes hot, you just want it to be a little bit cooled off. Mashav, the Bechli Rishon, Modu Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel would be Modu if it was a Kli Rishon. The lobishum the swara hach briyoso te tator gavar kideparish bekonchos, but not like Rashi says, because then you could ask the question: can yakshem yichochel aman diomer ilog gavar? There is an opinion that says no, the top one is going to overpower the bottom one, and therefore Tosu says over here the reason is nira kamosha omer rabbeinu tam the chamin letoch tzonein. The reason why when you're putting hot water into cold water mashmish atzoneinim shalmata merubin, it's more of it. You put the little amount into the large amount. And I had already alluded to that when I said the tator is gavar, so I was giving you really Tosus of shot over here. And therefore, the little bit of hot water is not going to go and boil the cold water that's in the bottom. And it's going to go and nullify their heat. But you can't put cold water into hot water because the chamin at the bottom, merubin. And it's going to take the cold water that is being added to it, that's only a little bit, and that's why you can't do this if it's a Kli Rishon. But Beis Hillel says, if it's a klisheni, then you're allowed to do this. And that's what we're talking about, because. Avo ba'ambati, if you're dealing over here with an ambati, which is like a bathtub, then the halach is as follows. Chamim l'toch hatzonin. You can put hot water into the cold water because, again, either tator gavar or because there's a lot of cold water over here and it's not going to get heated up. However, velo tzonin l'socha chamim. But you can't put cold water in, even according to Beis Hillel, you can't put cold water into this hot water because it is a kli rishon. And since it's a kli rishon that you're using for bathing purposes, you got a problem. Bathing purposes and not drinking purposes, so you do want it hot. So you don't have both of the reasons, you only have one of the reasons, and therefore you are concerned and you can't put cold water into this hot water. And Rav Shimon ben Asya oser. Rav Shimon ben Asya is oser in both respects. He doesn't let you put the hot into the cold as well as the cold into the hot. As Rashi says, afilu chamim l'toch tzoned, Rav Shimon ben Asya is oser. Now, how do we paskin? Omer Rav Nachman, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Asya. He says that halacha is, in fact, like this opinion of Rav Shimon ben Asya, that we have to be choshes over here, even the hot water into the cold water in the ambati. That's because it's a kli rishon. Now the Gemara is going to say, Sava Rav Yosef Lemeimar, seifel hariyu kambati. A seifel is like a certain type of a washing container that you're putting into the kli rishon. So it's a kli sheni itself, but you're using it for washing purposes. So it's going to have one of the two. It's going to be not something that you're drinking, so you want it hot, but it's kli sheni. So it's not like the ambati in that respect. So Rav Yosef is sovar that he says the seifel hariyu kambati, that you're not allowed to go put, even in this situation, the chamim into the toch of the tzonein. However, Amale Abai disagrees. Tony Ruchia, he says, no, Ruchia taught in a braisa, seifel eino kambati. No, the seifel is a kli sheni, and therefore it follows the rules of a kos, which is a kli sheni, and like a besilo, you're allowed to put, in this situation, the chamim into the tzonein. Gemara says, wait a second, I don't understand Rav Yosef. How does Rav Yosef, what was he thinking? According to Rav Yosef, who says that we consider the seifel to be like an ambati, we view it, even though it's a klisheni, as a kli rishon, and we don't allow you to put the chamim into the tzonein. And we said that we paskin like this, halacha of Rav Shimon ben Asya. So then, according to this, Ela b'Shabbes Ruchitza b'Chamin Leka. How would you ever be able to wash with hot water? Your pun of Yod V'Ragla, which we said you're allowed to, as long as the water was heated up before Shabbos, when would you ever be able to do this? If you took water that was heated before Shabbos, and it's on a blech, it's on a grufa ketuma kira, so then it's going to be boiling hot. It's going to be very hot still. So you'd have to dilute it with cold water. So if you're not allowed to go put, over here, some of this hot water into cold water, how would you ever to go wash your face? So Gemara says, "Mi sabris Rav Shimon not safe koi." So here we now change around. We said Rav Nachman said halachas Rav Shimon ben Asya. Says who says that's going on the sefer, which is our discussion. No, Areisha koi. He's going back on the first part of the brayso, which was ubeis hilah matirim ben chamin letzol tzonin ubeis tzonin letzol chamin. Beis hilah said for the klisheni, both ways are fine. And along comes Rav Shimon ben Asya now. Oser tzonin l'sol chamin. Even in the klisheni, he says you can't go put the tzone into the chamin. However, the other way around, he agrees. In putting hot water into the cold water, that's a klisheni that he does allow. But then, if that's the way we're learning Rav Shimon ben Asya, then he holds like Beis Shammai. Lema Rav Shimon ben Asya, d'omek Beis Shammai. We never want to have anybody holding like Beis Shammai because we don't pass like Beis Shammai. He says no hochi kamar. What Rav Shimon ben Asya is saying is that that's also the opinion of Beis Hillel. Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but d'avar zeh, that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai aren't arguing on this point, and they're both saying the same thing. And therefore, we do have a scenario where you still could wash your face, part of the other ragla, with hot water, when you're talking about putting the hot water into the cold water, that everybody agrees is okay, but in putting the cold water into the hot water, everybody agrees that it's not okay. The Gemara continues and says, "I'm Rav Huna ben Yeshua, Chazina leRava de lo kopir amana. I myself saw Rava do this. He wasn't concerned into pouring it into a cup. In other words, he took cold water and poured it into a kli sheni that had hot water in it, and wasn't concerned that that water would go and boil, that water would be mevashel. Why? Midatani Rav Chia, because he learned the brights of Rav Chia. Knows in Adam Kito Shomayim, the soul Sefer Shomayim, that you're allowed to take a jug of water and put it into another klisheni of water, even though the ketone on the top is cold. Bein chamin letoch tzonein, or bein tzonein letoch chamin. He allowed you to do it both ways. So that's where Rav got his cool over here, based upon this brights of Rav Chia. Mar says, wait a second. Amalei Rav Huna Ravashi, Duma Shaini Hosam, the Mifsach Kli. You're putting in a container into another container. You're not pouring the water directly into the water. And the walls of the container over here, that's why you're allowed to do this, because they're not going to get so hot. But how do you know you're allowed to actually pour cold water into a container with hot water? That you can't bring that from right from the Brice of Reb Chiya. It says over here you're putting the ketone into the seifel. That implies you're putting the whole jug over here into the other bigger jug. So Gemara says, Rav Ashi responds, Omalei, Ma'ara Itmar. No, you had the Brice wrong. He actually said Ma'ara. And he says, Ma'ara Adam Ketone Shamayim Lesok Seifel Shamayim. He took a jug of water and he poured it into a larger jug or basin of water over here. And this is allowed, Rav Chiya said, Ben Chamin Lato Soni, Ben Soni Lato Chamin. Both ways allowed. This specifically supports what Rava did, and that is in fact the halacha lemaisa. In a cliche, you can do this. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Now here we're talking about different types of containers, whether they're a kli rishon or a kli sheni. Again, a kli rishon is mavashal according to everybody, even if it's not on the fire. Anything is mavashal when it's on the fire because you're adding stuff directly on the fire. But a kli rishon that's removed from the fire, let's say a pot or something that's taken off from the fire, it still has boiling contents inside of it. And those boiling contents, even if they're not on the fire, can be mavashal. So a kli rishon is mavashal as long as it hasn't cooled off, of course. If it's cooled off, then it's not mavashal. But if it's still hot, we say a kli rishon is mavashal. And normally we say a kli sheni is not mavashal. So if you then pour it from this pot into a soup bowl, so that the soup bowl now is a kli sheni. And that kli sheni is normally not mavashal. So this mission is now going to teach us some additional dinim or particulars about kli rishon and kli sheni, whether they're mavashal or not in the certain situations. So we start off by saying ha ilfis. Ilfis is normally translated as some sort of a frying pan. This is a kli rishon. Baktera, this is a pot. It's also a kli rishon. Sheviran and Mirusochin, you take them off the fire while they're still boiling, while the stuff, the food inside of them is still hot. The pot, the frying pan are both still hot with the contents inside of them. So this is a kli rishon, sheheviron min ha'esh, that is no longer on the fire, yet it can be mevashel. So therefore, lo yitein lesochin tablin, don't go and add spices inside of them over here, because when you go and add the spices inside of them on Shabbos, Mishatechshach Rashi says, the kli rishon kos man sheroseach mevashel, because it's going to cook those spices that you're putting in. Return to the Amud Beis. Avonos enu l'socha kara o l'socha tamchoy, but you are allowed to go and add spices into the kara, which is the plate. Let's say a bowl, like a soup bowl. Let's say you took the soup off the fire. The soup is boiling hot in a kli rishon. You then pour it into a kli sheni. You pour it into your soup bowl or into a tamchoy. A tamchoy is translated, Rashi says, "Kein kara gedol," like a big pot over here. Shema'ara kol ilfas asocha. You can pour the entire contents of the pot into it. So this would be like a serving bowl that you put on the table with the cholent in it, let's say, or the hot soup inside of it. They call it a tureen or some sort of a big pot. So this is a kli sheni. So this kara or tamchoy is a kli sheni. So you can add the spices to it because we hold over here the kli sheni ain't a mevashel. The top Rashi, the kli sheni ain't a mevashel. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Lekalu no, saying, you can go and do anything over here. We'll see in the Gemara whether he's talking about the Kli Rishon or the Kli Sheni. Whether he's going Lekul or Lechumra, you can put anything you want inside over here. Chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. Unless this utensil has inside of it either chometz, a vinegary type of substance, or a tzir, or a fish brine type of substance, which will allow the cooking to go much better, so then you're allowed to do this, and we'll see again, is he talking about you can add spices even into a kli rishon, or is only into a kli sheni? And that's what the Gemara starts off and says, Yibaylu, Rabbi Yehuda, Aresha Koyu Lekula, was reviewed and going on the Resha, which is talking about the ilfis over here, or the kedera, and that's a kli rishon, which the Tanakhama had said, no, you can't add spices to that. And along comes Yehuda Lekula, and he's saying, no, as long as it doesn't have chometz or tzir in it, then you could, because it won't be mevashel, and therefore Lekula, he's being more mekel than the Tanakhama. Odumo aseifa koi, or he's going on the seifa. The Tanakhama said, you can put anything into the karo or the tamchoy, because it's not going to be, it's a kli sheni, it's not going to be mevashel. And along comes Yehuda and says, no, if it has chometz or tzir inside the kli sheni, you can't, because it will cook it there. Uluchomer, he's saying, in these situations, a kli sheni can also be mevashel. So what did Rav Yehuda say? So Gemara says, very easy, we have a brisa that says exactly what he said, toshma detanya. The brisa says, beferish, the Rav Yehuda omer, lechol ilfasin hu nosein. You can go put even into a kli rishon, the ilfas over here, or the kedera. You can put it in. Lechol ha-kedera, it's roskos hu nosein. You can put in these spices into a kli rishon, and it's not a problem, except unless it had chol mitzvah tzir. In other words, Rav Yehuda is more makel than the Tanakama. Tanakama says you can't put anything into a kli rishon, and Rav Yehuda says you can put it into a kli rishon unless it has this vinegar or fish brine in it that will make it be mevashel. Otherwise, if you take it off the fire, it's not mevashel. Now, according to the Tanakama, you are allowed to go and add spices to a kli sheni because he says it's not mevashel, but you can't add it to a kli rishon. So Gemara says, Sava Rav Yosef lemeimar melech hariyu kitavlin. Rav Yosef wanted to say that when we said tavlin over here, it includes salt. The bechli rishon bashla, according to the Tanakama, in a kli rishon, spices, including salt, can be cooked. Kli rishon is mevashel. However, bechli sheni lo bashla. Spices, as well as salt, will not be mevashel in a kli sheni. That's what Rav Yosef wanted to say, that there's no difference between tavlin and salt, according to the Tanakama. However, Amalei Abaye says, Tani Rav Chiya says otherwise. Melach eino kitavlin. He said salt is not like tavlin. The bechli sheni nami boshla. Even though tavlin won't be able to be mevashel in a kli sheni and mevashel tavlin, according to this first version of Rav Chiya, salt would be able to become mevushel in a kli sheni. Well, therefore, upliga the Rav Nachman. This argues with the Rav Nachman said. What did Rav Nachman say? The Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula kebisra desora. In order for one to cook salt, it has to have the same type of heat that you need to cook ox meat. Ox meat requires an eish. It really is very tough, and it won't cook easily, even in a kli rishon, as long as it's not on the fire. If ox meat won't cook in a kli rishon off the fire, you need to put it on the fire. And Rav Nachman says that salt is like a ox meat, in that it only cooks on the fire itself, and even in a kli rishon that was heavier on mina or that is taken off the fire, it will not cook. So according to this first understanding of Rav Chiya, this would argue with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that salt can cook even in a kli rishon if it's off the fire, and Rav Chiya says that melach is not like tavlin, that even in a kli sheni it's able to be cooking. So it's a very wide difference between them. Kli rishon won't cook according to Rav Nachman unless it's on the fire, and Rav Chiya says even in a kli sheni salt will cook. Another version, however, Vikud Yamre, Sabar of Yosef Lemeimar, Melech Hariyu Kitablin, that Yosef said that salt is like spices. In what respect? The Bechli Rishon Boshla, Bechli Sheni Lo Boshla, like we said, the Tanakhama says spices will cook in a Kli Rishon, but won't cook in a Kli Sheni. Salt is the same way. And on that, Omalei Abaye, Tony Ruchia said, Melech Eino Kitablin, salt is not the same like spices. In the respect that, the Bechli Rishon Namin Lo Boshla, that salt won't cook even in a kli rishon. Behind the Rav Nachman, and this is exactly like Rav Nachman. Here, Rav Chiya is saying exactly like Rav Nachman that it requires a kli rishon on the fire in order to cook. Tzricha milcha bishula kibisra de Torah. That salt is a very hard thing to cook. Like ox meat is a very hard thing to cook, and it won't cook in a kli rishon off the fire. It only cooks in a kli rishon on the fire. And according to the second version, Rav Chiya is saying the exact same thing as Rav Nachman. Now we go to the next nishma. Now here we're switching focus. Until now we've been talking about cooking in this Perek Hakira, but now we're going to start talking more about some of the dinim of Muktzah. The Mishnah says, "Ein nosdin kli tachas haner lekabel bos hashemen." You're not allowed to go put a utensil underneath a ner. Now a ner, we normally think of a ner as a fire, as a light, but a ner in the Mishnaic terms is a lamp. Their lamps were oil lamps. So you filled up a container with oil, and then you put a wick in it, and that's how you lit it. That's what's called the nair. So some of the oil is going to spill out, so you're not allowed to go put a utensil to go collect this oil that's going to spill out from this lamp over here. In this situation, you can't go and collect that oil on Shabbos. The Gemara will give two reasons, two different possibilities, why you're not allowed to do this. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain the two reasonings. We'll see the Rav Chisda will explain it, and then we'll have two ways to explain Rav Chisda. We'll have Rabbah and Rav Yosef. We're going to do Rabbah Mitzvah Shem today, and Rav Yosef will do tomorrow. In any event, the Mishnah continues and it says, Vim nisanua mibo jom, but if you did this Erev Shabbos, then it's mutter. So the understanding of the Mishnah is you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos, but you are allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos. And again, we'll have to explain why this is true based upon the two shitas of Rav Chisda, Rabbah, and Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Chisda, which we'll get to in a moment. However, ve'ein niosa mimenu, but you're not allowed to get any benefit from that oil, lefish eino min ha-muchan, because that oil is not muchan, it's not prepared, it is muktzah. So to summarize the Mishnah, you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos for one of two reasons, but you are allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos, and then it's permissible to leave it there on Shabbos. However, you're still not allowed to use the oil because the oil is muktzah. Let's understand this. Amru Chis, the Gemara starts off and says, Afal pisha amru einostin kli tachas tarnegolis lekabel beit sasa, even though you're not allowed to go put a utensil to go and collect the hen's egg. The hen's egg is muktzah, because it wasn't laid before Shabbos or Yontif. So it's muktzah, and you're not allowed to go and put a kli to protect that egg so it doesn't break. So you put a kli in to collect the egg. However, you're not allowed to collect the egg in a kli, avol kofa ola kli shelo sishovit, but you're allowed to protect the egg by putting a kli on top of it. So you put an overturned pot on top of it, so the egg will be protected. That you're allowed to do. That's what Ruch Chisda said. You can't collect the egg in a kli. Why not? We'll have Rabba and Rav Yossi's reasoning. But you can turn a pot over the kli and over the egg to protect the egg. That is allowed. Now, why? So the first reason we give is Rabba, and we'll go through Rabba's reasoning and then a whole bunch of questions on it, and then we'll stop, and the shiur will continue tomorrow with the same exact questions on Rav Yose's Shita, and we'll see the Shaka V'Tari again tomorrow. So let's start off today. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, "My time of the Rav Chisda, what is the rationale for Rav Chisda saying that you can't put in a kli underneath to collect the egg, but you can put a kli on top of the egg?" So he says, "Kusavar ternegolus asuya lahato beit soso beashba." Where does a hen normally lay its eggs? Over here, it lays it in some sort of a place where it could get crushed. In an ashba, it's a public area, and it's getting crushed. Rashi says, "V'yesh lachos shemotishove beragli odam." Person's going to walk over there, and therefore it's going to get crushed. You don't want the egg to get crushed. The kofa ala kli, and therefore you can put a kli on top of it to protect the egg from getting crushed. However, it's not normal for a hen to go and lay eggs on an incline. Hens don't lay eggs on a slanted roof or on a slanted road that the egg will roll away and get crushed. And therefore, to go and cover up an egg in an ashpa, which is a very regular occurrence, the rabbi says, we're not going to institute mukts over here and say that you can't go and do this, by moving a non-muktza item over here for the sake of this muktza item, so we will not restrict you from putting a pot on top of this egg, but something that's irregular for the hen to go and lay it on an incline, which is very unusual, it's a davar shelo shchiach, in that situation the rabbis did not let you take a non-muktza item, a pan or a pot, to go collect the egg on it. So Rabba's reason why the Mishnah allows you, the Tanakhama allows you to do this, based upon Rav Chisda, is because a Dover Shchiach, something that's going to regularly happen over here, the rabbi said, we're not instituting the din that you can't move a non-muktza item for a muktza item, as opposed to something that's unusual, so then the Rabbanan din, that you can't make a non-muktza item for the purposes of a muktza item, that din still applies. And therefore, if it's a davar she'eino shchiach, it does apply. And as Rashi says over here in Dibra Masch Afapi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, he says, "Kishi matilaso b'mokum madron shemot isgalgo v'tishaver." That's unusual. Umidiyuko demastisin shaminen le the domi lenosin kli tachas ener. That's also very unusual. Lekabel bo shemen. And therefore, the rule applies: ein kli nital, a kli that's not muktzah, is not allowed to be moved. For something that is not muktzah. But you can't move a non-muktzah item for the sake of a muktzah item. This is called ein kli nital el letzorich dover anital. You can move a utensil to benefit another non-muktzah item. But you can't move a utensil to benefit a muktzah item unless it's shchicha hezeka, so to say, unless it's certainly going to happen that it's going to break, like with the case of the egg in the ashpa, and therefore you can put a kli on top of it. That is the Shita of Rabba. We're now going to have a bunch of questions that Abaye is going to ask on this Shita of Rabba. Esri Abaye, Batzolo she'eno mitzuya lo itiru? Is it really true that the rabbis didn't let you go and do a tzolo that wasn't shchicha? If it wasn't a likely occurrence, then the rabbis didn't permit you to move a non-muktza kli to protect a muktza item? Is that so? I'll show you that's not true. Vatani, we learned in the Braisa, Nishbar lo chavish al tevel barosh gago. The guy has a barrel of tevel, let's say wine, up on top of his roof in a barrel, and it's breaking, and all the wine is going to pour out. So the din is, mevi kli umeniach tachtecha. You're allowed to go bring another kli, another barrel, to collect all the barrels wine that's pouring out. Now, this is, the tevel is muktzah, because you're not allowed to eat tevel on Shabbos. Not allowed to every tevel. and therefore it's muktzah. And yet we're allowing you to go take another barrel, chavis, that is not muktzah, and use it to collect the muktzah wine that's coming out, the tevel wine that's coming out. So you see clearly, kashan rabba, you are allowed to move a kli litzorech, a muktzah item, kasha. Gemara says, no, this is also a dover shchiach, that this hezeka will occur. We're talking about new barrels, the shchiche depaki, that they're frequently going to break. They haven't been tested, and they're brand new, and therefore, it's shchich hezeka. This is more comparable to the egg in the ashpa than it is to the egg not being laid on an incline. So therefore, rabba's okay. In this situation, the rabbis would not go that you can't move a kli that is a non-muktza kli for a muktza item. It's not, they weren't gozer it in this situation. Try again. Eisvei Abayes, again, Rabba. Nostin kli tachas haner lekabel nitzosos. You are allowed to put a kli underneath this lamp, this oil lamp over here, to go collect the sparks that are going to come off so they don't burn your tablecloth, they don't burn your house down. Now, these nitzotzos are muktza, and yet we allow you to put a kli over there to go and collect the sparks. So you're moving a non-muktza kli for the muktza sparks. Kasha and Rabba. So again, Rabba will respond very simply. Nitzotzos namishlichei. This is exactly the same case as the egg of the ashpa. There are always going to be nitzotzos, these sparks that come off from the flame, and therefore there's always a concern over here. So the rabbis would not go there that you can't move a non-muktza item to protect the muktza thing in this situation, because it's a dover shchiach. We turn to the Yom Rav, we try again. Eisveya, Abayes, another kasha de Rabba, kofin karel aner shlo yoches bekara. You're allowed to go and put a pot on top of an air that it shouldn't go and burn down the beam on the roof. In other words, the flame is going higher, so you're allowed to go and cover it up with a pot so it doesn't go and ignite the korah, the beam that you have, as the roof of this house. Now, certainly, over here, you're moving the pot, which is not muktza, to protect over here, or to use it for the muktza flame, for the muktza nair. How are you allowed to do this? You're moving a kli that's not muktza for a muktza item. So isn't this an unusual occurrence, and you shouldn't be allowed to do this? So Gemara gives the same teretz again. Bebote gichine. We're talking about a very low-hanging roof. The shchiach b'udaleika. And there, the flame will easily go catch it. So therefore, this is a dover shchiach. It's like laying the egg in the ashpa. And Rabbi says, not a problem. The rabbis who not gozer over here, that you can't move this non-muktza kli to this muktza item, because it's a dover shchiach, that it will happen. One more time. The king korish nishbra. Abayi says, well, what about, it says also, if you have a beam that breaks, so now, somchin also besafsol ubearuko samita. You're allowed to go and support the beam so that the roof doesn't collapse with either a bench of some sort, or the beds that they had, the long boards of the bed, you can use it to support this beam. Now, this safsol or arukos hamita is a non-muktza item, and you're using it to support this broken beam, which is a muktza item. Kasha, how are you allowed to do this? So Gemara gives the same teretz. Bechishuri chadati David the poki. Again, we're talking about beams that are new and they're very likely to break. They haven't been tested yet, and therefore the rabbis would not go there in this situation that you can't put a muktza item. You can't protect the muktza item with a non-muktza item. One more time. Abayes Rabba, one more question. Nosin kli tachas adelet b'shabbos. Mishnah Beitza tells us that you're allowed to go put a non-muktza kli underneath a leaking roof on Shabbos to collect the water. Now, the leaking water, mistama, is muktza, because people don't drink that type of stuff. So therefore, if you're dealing with muktza water, how are you allowed to move your non-muktza kli to collect this water over here? Again, the same kasha, Abai, Es, and Rabba. And Rabba responds, Babote Chadati, we're talking about a brand new roof over here, the Shlicha de Dolfi. We don't know yet that the roof is not going to be leaking. It hasn't been tested yet. So therefore, it's considered like a Dover Shliach. It's like the egg in the Ashpa. And in all of these situations, we have a similar teretz by Rabba each time, that this is a Dover Shliach. And therefore, you can move the kli to go protect a muktza item if it's a Dover Shliach, because the rabbis would never go through in that situation. But in the situation where the kli is being moved to protect a muktza item that is unlikely to have occurred, like in our Mishnah, where the oil is going to drip out of the lamp, or in the case of the egg that is being laid, normally it doesn't get laid on an incline, so then Rabba Shita holds, that's the gzeira, you're now allowed to move a non-muktza kli in order to protect a muktza item. That's the end of teretz number one. That's Rabba's teretz. Gemara will now give us, in tomorrow's shir, Rav Yosef Amar, Hainu Tanu de Rav Chisda, he'll give us a different reason for Rav Chisda. Yitz Hashem, we'll get to that tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir.